Another thing that I want you to know is what statistical decisions lead to what possible statistical decision error. It's a pretty simple pattern, and if you learn this pattern, you'll flow through this exam much more quickly. If p is less than 0.05, we're going to reject the null, which means we risk a type 1 error and a type 3 error, but a type 2 error is not possible. To miss an effect, you have to retain the null. So if we reject the null, you can't possibly make a type 2 error. The probability of a type 1 error when you reject the null is the p-value. There's nothing to compute. Just look. If you reject the null, p is less than 0.05, the probability of a type 1 error is the p-value. The probability of a type 2 error is 0. It's not physically possible. And the probability of a type 3 error exists, but it's going to be not estimable. The formula's a bear. It's not worth it. If p is greater than 0.05, you're going to retain the null. If you retain the null, you can't make a false alarm, you can't make a misspecification. Both of those require that you decide you have an effect. But if p is greater than 0.05 and you retain the null, it is possible to risk a type 2 error. And a type 2 error estimate requires the dance of the type 2 error. There's nothing you can look at in the output and immediately know. What you have to do is gather together the effect size and the sample size, take those to the power table, and then the probability of a type 2 error is 1 minus power. That's a fairly simple set of rules, and it always works. If you reject the null, you risk 1 and 3. The risk of a 1 is the p-value. If you retain the null, you risk a type 2 error. And the risk is 1 minus the power.